And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit on thee hereafter forever. And his disciples, they heard it. All right, let's drop down to the 20th verse now. It said, In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Have faith in God. And verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I don't want one more scripture to get started with. I want Romans 1 and 17. 1 and 17 said, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, what I've got on my heart, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now then, he's saying here, back in Mark, he's bringing out, of course, he turned on this fig tree, so to speak. But he said, Jesus answered and saith unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. All right, now then, faith, definition on faith, is a dependence on the veracity or truthfulness of another, firm belief or trust in a person, thing, doctrine, or statement. The firm foundation of faith is the essential supreme perfection of God, his unerring knowledge, his immutable truth, his infinite goodness, and his almighty power. Another side I have on this of faith is that an inward acceptance of a personality as real and trustworthy, of an idea as true, obligatory, or of a thing as beneficial, as faith in God, faith in one's friend, faith in the moral law, and faith in medicine. Faith is a divine virtue by which we firmly believe the truths which God has revealed. Now, faith, it says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. People need to see faith through us. They need to see it. They need to, they're not going to see it anywhere else. But people that live for God, and the Lord is using them, blessing them, and so forth, they can show somebody else what faith really is. And we have a world today that don't have a lot of faith and sometimes much of nothing. I have faith in both of my companions. If you would have told me that Rebecca or Molly stepping out on me, I wouldn't have believed you, because I have confidence. I have faith in them. And the same way with other things. I've had faith in different things down through the deal. But in 1971, when I met the Lord and I began to have faith in him, my whole life was changed. It made different and so forth, because I met somebody that was able to do what nobody else can do. But it took faith to get that. I couldn't get saved without faith. I had to come to him. I had to repent. I had to do what I did. But the bottom line is, I found somebody that I could have firm, full, total faith in, because he was one that I trusted. I trusted him, and he stood out. Well, if you and I trust the Lord, we have faith in him, and people are looking on and saying, wow, that's different. That's something different. All right, then it goes on down in here. He said, I'm just telling you flat out, you got to have faith in God. And he said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now then, he didn't pick an easy thing. He didn't tell us to go dig up a flower in the yard and move it around. He said get rid of a mountain. He picked something that was impossible for human beings to do at that time. Today you could tear a mountain down if you wanted to. If you had enough money, enough equipment, enough time, you could take a mountain down. It'd be a little hard. It wouldn't be easy. Pike's Peak is a huge mountain. It would be a big deal to take that down. But the bottom line is, he picked the hardest thing that he could pick so you and I could see that if we had faith in him, he's able to do anything we ask him to do. Do we believe that this morning? That's where the problem is. Sometimes we don't really have enough faith to believe he can do what he said he can do. Listen, folks, I've been hung up on the power of God for quite a while. I mentioned it the other day. I've been preaching it off and on all for months now. But the bottom line is, he said, I have all power in heaven and in earth. I can do anything you need me to do. I can move mountains. I can heal sicknesses. I can give you a job. Brother Salmon said they had two men back there in Green Bay. Now, this has been a number of years ago that needed employment. So he said, let's pray, saints, let's pray. The congregation went to pray, and they both got a job, two of the best jobs in the whole county, or in the area, let me put it that way. And it was because of prayer. God gave them good jobs. He can give anything, anybody, at any time. He can do anything we need him to do. But do we have faith that he can do that? Have faith in God. The Lord wants us to have a faith that other people can see, that they can watch, that they can examine. That's the way that people come in among the saints. They have watched our lives down through the years, and they've seen something different. That person's not like other people. And it gets their attention, and they get to watching. And then they get acquainted real good. They talk to us. They visit with us. And they see, hey, they're serious about their religion. They're serious about this deal of living for God. They're serious about that. So consequently, they begin to look at it. And the more we live it, the more they can see. Have faith in God. I'll move your mountain for you. You really believe that? You really believe that he can move a mountain? I do. I believe he can do it. Mountains can be anything in our lives. It don't have to be a thingamajig like that. It can be anything in our lives. Something big, something hard, something large, something that we don't really see a way around. But he can do it, folks. He can take and move a mountain in our lives. I've seen him do things. I've seen him do them instantly. It's so instant that at times I guess I've been a little bit stunned. Brother Philip, Sister Rosie had a baby. I don't remember how old the child was. It's been years ago. But we went over there, we did, and we spent some time. We talked and visited, looked at the child and so forth. We took the child out of the crib it was in or whatever. And we laid it on the floor, Brother Philip did. And we knelt around that child. And the presence of God moved in that room. I mean, all four of us knew God was there. There was no doubt in our minds that God was there. Prayer was offered. We reverently got up, and two of us went out the door, and the child was healed right then. While he was being prayed for, he was healed instantly. Listen, God is an instant healing God. He's an instant anything God. There's not anything can stop him. When he moves, the devil and all hell's got to get out of the way because of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. He's a powerful individual. All power is given in me. He can handle anything he needs to handle. All we have to do is have faith in that power. Now, if you tell me, and I've messed with cards for years. Well, no, let's back up a little bit. When I was in the service station business, working and owning a service station with a partner, I was dealing with cards. I ain't dealt with them much then except driving them. But the power. You can have something that has a little power, more power, and more power. You get up there 400 or 500 horsepower engines, 600, whatever. And they can put them on the track and they can run real fast. But Christ is greater than that. President has power. Christ is greater than that. Kings have power. Christ is greater than that. He has it. And he says, what I want you to do, I want you to have faith in God. Peter, he was, oh, call and remembers. Behold the fig tree. Thou curses, it's withered away. Christ said, I want you to have faith in me. Because you see what was done there, and now then I'm going to give you something even bigger to deal with, and that's we're going to move the mountain when we need to. Going to move the mountain. The just shall live by faith. The Lord wants his people to live by faith. That is the greatest thing you and I can do, is live by faith. All right, let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. First verse, please. Have faith in God. 11 and 1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now faith, right now. In 1983, I was on my honeymoon. Rebecca had had a cold somewhat. Wasn't a bad cold, but had it before we actually got married. And then we got out on the honeymoon, and I got down sick. And I don't know what was wrong with me. She didn't know what was wrong with me. We called for prayer. And Rebecca, she started praying. And she done real good. She prayed all for everybody around the country, and then she prayed for me last. Then I said, well, get the Bible, and I'll quote some scriptures, and she read some scriptures. But while she was praying for me, the first time, the Lord said, thank God for healing. Some of you have heard this, some of you maybe hadn't. Said, thank God for healing. I said, Lord, I'm not well. He said, thank God for healing. I said, Lord, I'm not well. And I'm going back and forth. And then Rebecca got through praying. Like I said, she got the Bible. She read some. And she started in again. And when she started in that time, I saw what he was wanting. He wanted me to thank God for healing before I had it. That's faith, folks. That's faith, and that's what the scripture's talking about. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith means we are confident of what we hope for. But faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. Faith is being sure of the things we hope for. Now faith is a title deed of things hoped for. And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes. There was a brother one time, had a leg problem, and the Lord visited him. Now there's times that the Lord's going to inspire our faith. And there's times that he wants us to move out on our own faith. So this brother had been inspired. And he had trouble walking. He had a leg problem. I don't remember all about it. It's been years since I read it. But he called two brothers and he said, I want you to come over here and help me. So they come over. What you need, brother? Well, I want you to get one on one side and one on the other. I want to go to the sidewalk and we're going to walk that sidewalk till I can walk. And they took off. And one block, it's either the second or the third block. He had it just like that, and he took off. He had that faith. He had that faith. Now faith. Now faith. In other words, I had to start thanking God for healing. And I start, like I said, I got a hold of it while she was praying. And I thought, that's what he wants. He wants me to thank him for something that I can't see or feel yet. And that's doing it by faith. I started thanking God for healing. I started getting better. I got up out of bed, got dressed, and away we went. Didn't have no more problems the rest of the honeymoon. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The elders obtained a good report. They were known for their faith back there. For in this the elders obtained a good testimony. It is for their faith that the men of old stand on record. For it is for, and it was for faith that the men of old were renowned. By it the saints of old won God's approval. I like the one here says it was, and it was for faith that the men were of old were renowned. The people saw it. They watched it. And they were known. And that's what you and I need now. In 2026, we need a faith that gets people's attention. That they can see, hey, this person's different. This person, this sister, this brother, whatever, this relative, this neighbor is different. They don't live the same type of life. We don't have to push it down their throat. Just live it. Just let them see that we have a faith in somebody that can do anything that we need him to do. And it'll work. Have faith in God. Now faith, right now, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, they need to see something. Are they seeing something? Are they seeing something? Now, I could be, well, no, I'm not wrong. I was going to say I could be wrong, but I'm not. The bottom line is that when you have a touch from God, it does something to you. You knew it come from God. My first real dealing with divine healing, I got my eyes, something in my eyes, and got them burned. And I was struggling. I was up at night. I couldn't sleep. The pain was there. So Mama took me to the eye specialist that we had been going to for several years. And he examined it. He said, I told him what happened. He said, well, he said, this is just going to have to get better. And it's going to work. I have to do this and this and this. Had to put quilts over the windows. Had to have patches on both eyes and so forth and do that. Well, he said, I'm going to give you some medicine. Mama, go get you some medicine. He knew Mama, he knew the family. He said, we're going to get this medicine, this pain medicine. So Mama went and got it. And like I said, I really wasn't into what I call total divine healing. This is one of my first experiences in it. Mama went and got it, and I got ready to take it. The Lord spoke to me and said, it's not going to do you a bit of good, son. Huh? I took it. It didn't do me a bit of good. Never helped me one bit. So we got home, and I was still in a lot of pain. And she said, you want me to call Brother Sammons? Said, he's in revival at Guthrie. Said, why don't we call him? Okay. So him and another young preacher come down, Brother Sammons, you know him, just kind of just eased into the room talking to me in his loving way. And you know, what's wrong, Carl, and so forth. And they anointed me and they prayed for me and the pain left instantly. Now, this is what I've never understood. If you can give me the key to it, I'll be glad to listen. My eyes was healed 50%, but not totally. Now, that's what I don't totally understand. But when I went back to the specialist the next morning, he looked me all over, checked me all out. And he knew something had happened, so I give him the story. He said, you took that pain pill, and it didn't do you a bit of good? I said, no, sir. He said, if I had taken it, I'd still be groggy this morning. Now, that's how he knew what it was. He knew how powerful it was, but it didn't do me a good or good. And he said, something has happened. You definitely had a healing, something. And I made a statement about Daddy being sick with the flu. He said, he said, folks, we believe in prayer, but we don't get those kind of results. So evidently he was a churchgoer. I didn't know what, who he, where he went or whatever, but we believe in prayer, but we don't get those kind of results. He said, listen, said, you say dad's sick, you need to call that preacher and come pray for him. So that was my first real touch and knowledge of divine healing. And then I started from there and learning more and more as I've gone through the years. But those type of things, it got that doctor's attention. I was probably 19. But let me see, that would have been in 70. I went into business in 73. In the fall of 73, this would have been about 75, 53. So I was about 22 at the time. About 22. And so this doctor had been my eye doctor for many, many years since I was about 11 years old. I'd gotten hit and out on the playground, somebody hit a ball and I'd turn and hit me in the eye. And Mama found him and went to him, and that's what started our relationship. So he'd known me for several years. Have faith in God. Are we really having the faith that we need to have? Are we really having a faith that people are going to look at, are going to understand, they're going to see, they're going to know something's different about this person? If we don't have it, who's going to have it? Now then, you can have a, what do you want to call it? A certain amount of faith, but we need to go to the extremities of faith. And that is, we trust God till we die. Or we have a very serious need one way. All right, I'm putting in a prayer request and we're going to trust God to take care of that need, whatever it might be. Have faith in God. What he told him, have faith in me. Have faith in me. Listen, folks, this is not anybody. This is our best friend. This is our Father. This is our Savior. This is the Jesus Christ that we have committed our lives to. And when we commit our lives to him, he wants us to have faith that he can help us in anything we need, whether it be money. I've had people bring me money. I've had people send me money. I've had them call me on the phone and said, come by, I got something for you. All kind of ways, praying and asking God, I need money to pay my bills. And he supplied that money, whether it be a dollar or, well, I ain't going to tell how much, the biggest offering I've ever got, but it wasn't $5. Let me put that away. But the Lord has a way of doing anything he needs us to do. He helps to build our faith. And just like that with my eye, that was my start in divine healing. And now that I trust him with my body. Somebody, well, I've had this leg problem for since last November. And I thought I was going to skirt through November doing good, because the last 2 or 3 years I'd had trouble every fall. And I thought, I'm getting through this one, I'm doing fine. And all of a sudden I started having something with this left leg. But I didn't have a doctor. I didn't talk to a doctor. I didn't do anything with a doctor concerning that leg. And so consequently, I asked the Lord, you take care of it. He's been working on the deal. Sometimes he heals instantly, sometimes he doesn't. He heals over a period of time. Remember Mount Gillenbeck? He was fixing to go with Brother Michael to Africa. He was to be his carrier, so to speak, his strong man. And Matthew had got his foot hurt, his ankle. This has been several years ago now. And he got that ankle hurt. He couldn't walk. He was using crutches. And his mama made a statement, said, well, he's fooling around too much with the young people, something like that. He come down here and he sat down right there. And several of us gathered around. One minister prayed. That prayer inspired another minister's prayer. The two of them prayed. And next thing we know, he got up and he got right back there. And he turned around and started shouting, I'm healed, I'm healed. Just like that. I'm healed. In Holly Hill, there was a man one night when Brother Salmon's holding a meeting. He looked like he died right there during service. And so they stopped service. Call the doctor. Call the ambulance. Call this. Call that. Brother Sammons, let's pray. Brother Sammons said that he took the man's hand and he watched his eyes go back in his head. And he said, for all he knew, he was gone. He wasn't breathing. If I remember right, he wasn't breathing or anything. There's my witness. She knows about it too, more than I do. And so they started praying. Brother Salmon said, I felt him squeeze my hand. I looked at his eyes and they come back. And the Lord touched him right there. Right there and blessed him and brought him back. Oh, brother, I believe it was Isaac Chandler in California. His sister died. And the Lord told him, he said, don't you send her to, don't call anybody out to receive the body. Don't do anything. He said, pray. So Brother Chandler said, all right, folks. He said, we're going to stay right here and we're going to pray. She died in the morning. I'm going to say 5-6 o'clock in the morning. And so they prayed all through the day. And there's people very skeptical, even with him, that this anything was going to happen. But about 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, things started changing. She was dead. I mean, with that man in Holly Hill, you could maybe say, well, he wasn't really dead. But this had several hours that she wasn't breathing. She wasn't doing anything. She laid in that bed like that for hours. And all of a sudden, they was praying for her, and she just come to life. And they said there's people going out every room, every door of that house. They was leaving. They couldn't believe. Listen, folks, let's have faith in God that he can raise the dead. Let's have faith in God that he can give us anything we need. Let's have faith in God that he can bless us and encourage us. Maybe we're down. Maybe we're blue. Listen, I've had some rough spots. I have been places where it was not an easy situation, but I've had him come along and give me a touch. It didn't take a big touch. His power is so powerful that we don't need a big touch, just a touch. And we can be off and running again. Oh, today, have faith in God. Real faith. A faith that people see, people know. This is something different. This is not just anybody. All right, what was it? Was it Peter's mother, Brother Ivan, was sick? She wasn't dead, though, was she? No, she wasn't dead. But they had Christ come up, if I remember right, and he prayed for her, and she was healed right there. I mean, what about the young man in the casket? The mama was going out. Now, you talk about something hard. We've had some hard cases among us of people dying, but this was her only son. Her husband was dead. She didn't have Social Security. She had maybe no income, so to speak, and she was facing a real dark future. And the Lord come by. He reached out and he touched the casket. They stopped it. And if I remember right, he said, young man, arise. Something like that, without digging it out. I didn't think about that till right now. Young man, arise. He just rose up and got out of the casket. What about Lazarus? There he was, Mary and Martha. And Martha said, Jesus loves Martha. And he loved Mary, he loved Lazarus, and he loved Martha. Or Martha and Mary and Lazarus, however you want to say it. And he was dead, 4 days? And he deliberately did not go over there. He did not go over there for the simple reason he wanted from people to see the power of God. He wanted them to see something they had not ever seen before. And when he and his disciples said this and that and the other, and I don't remember just without turning to it. That's about the 11th chapter of John, isn't it? Yeah. He said there that Jesus heard that he said, and when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days. Okay, 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And so they went. And you know what, the one met him and then the other met him. And they were, well, I know he's going to rise again. But Jesus said, well, he's going to rise again. He's going to be, let's see, where does it say it right here? He said, 11 said, these things saith he, that after that he saith unto him, our friend Lazarus sleeper, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And he goes on down, and then, all right, 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection. Do we believe that? And the life. And life. He's everything. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly said, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And so she went quickly to him. And it goes on down in here. Shortest scripture in the Bible, as far as I know, is 35. It said Jesus wept. And they saw, the Jews did, how he loved him. Well, sure he loved him. That was a very good friend of his. All three of them were. And he goes on down here, and he said in 30, let's see. 139, I guess. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he'd been dead 4 days. That's where I got the 4 days. All right, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. But he that was dead, come forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him, let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, what? They believed on him. They believed. They saw something. That's what I'm saying. The Lord wants us to have a faith that they can see, that they can observe, that they can get a hold of, that they can see there's something to this. We're not just playing religion. We are saved people. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He raised him from the dead instantly. All right, let's go to Romans 10 and 10. Romans 10 and 10. Where the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession made to salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him and whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him and whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good joy. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias said, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Do you learn anything when you sit in these services? Do you have something that challenges you and opens your mind up and your heart up, and you say, I got it. Maybe not out loud. I got it. I see it. I understand now what this is talking about. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can get it in private devotion. We can get it during a meeting. We can get it in a camp meeting or a revival meeting or whatever. But the bottom line is, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the word of God has got so much in it that by the working of the Spirit of God, He opens it up to us, and that can inspire faith right there. That can inspire faith. That's why you're here today. That's why you're in this meeting. That's why we have revival meetings and camp meetings and assembly meetings, so that our people can hear the Word of God. And that Word has a way and a power behind it by the very power of Christ that reveals, open ups, and does what we needed to do. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sister Margaret Eck. Now, Brother Ivan probably heard her tell this, but I heard her tell it. I don't know if she told it to me. I guess she told it to me privately one time. She was in Monarch. She was sick. And I think she had this, whatever it was, for a while, if I remember right. It wasn't something that had just come on during Monarch. She had had this problem, physical problem, whatever, for a while. And so the Lord spoke to her. And what was the scripture? Now I can't remember what the scripture was. It wasn't this one here. Oh, Lord, help me. But anyway, the Lord give her a scripture out of the Bible, and the preacher, I believe he was preaching, and maybe he brought it out. Anyway, the Lord brought the two together, and she got a hold of it, and she was healed right there in her pew. Just that instantly. He can do anything. He doesn't have to, we don't have to maybe fast and pray all the time or whatever. He can do it. He can do it instantly. All right, let's go to Galatians 5 and 5. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It opens it up. It reveals it to us. Galatians 5 and 5. Said, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Our love for Christ will help us to dig on down into things. Will help us to get a hold of things that the Lord wants us to get a hold of. And as we do that, and as He reveals to us, that will help us to be able to see things that we've never seen before. Works by love. It's our love to Him. It's our adoration. It's our reaching out and holding on to Christ. All right, let's go to a couple of three instances here in the Bible. Mark 5 and 25. Some of you know what I'm fixing to talk about. It said, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and suffered many things, and many physicians had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. She heard of Jesus, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And His disciples saith unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came, fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he saith unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now then, there was really, to be honest about it, I guess everything, this is a big statement, I don't think I'm too far off though, everything in the Bible time, there was really no cure for it except God. I may be off a little bit on that, but I don't think I'm too far off. Like blindness, blind Bartimaeus and so forth, there was no healing for eyes. There was no healing for this. And different things. We'll read some more on this. Another deal. But there was no healing for that. So consequently, and the people heard about Christ. They heard about what he did. They heard about his healings and his deliverances and his casting out spirits and so forth. They heard about all this. And they wanted to see him. They wanted to know this individual named Jesus Christ. And if you were sick and if you had problems and so forth, they wanted to try to be there to get a touch. She touched him. He didn't touch her. She was seeking. Today, are you seeking for something? Are you needing something? The Lord wants you to reach out and touch him. He wants us by faith to get a hold of, have faith in God. He wants us to get a hold of that and reach out. And start saying, thank you, Lord. When I started coming up out of that bed, I started thanking God for healing. Right then. I mean, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I kept it up. If I remember right, after this has been 40-something years ago, I remember right, I kept thanking him for healing. Thank you. Thank you. I just got better and better. Well, this case here was an instant healing. Everything happened right then. Everything was done right then. But Jesus knew in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Who touched me? And thou seest the multitude, Lord. And you go, who touched thee? Who touched me? And he saw her. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Thy faith, he just told her, point out, your faith is what's done this. So she reached out, Lord, help us to reach out today. If we need healing in our bodies, help us to reach out and get a hold. Of something that we've never had before. Something that will be a, let's see, Matthew, I want Matthew 14 and 34 to go with this. 14 and 34. All these things, no, wait a minute, am I right? No, I'm the wrong chapter. No wonder I didn't read right. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of the place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Just touch the hem of his garment. Just do that. And they were healed. The Lord wants us to touch by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to Matthew, the 8th chapter. We'll be through here in a little bit. Eighth chapter and the 5th verse. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. Another, come, and he cometh. And my servant do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him that followed, verily I say unto thee, say unto you, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Great faith. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. This man had faith. He knew what he could do, and he knew Christ enough of watching, hearing, whatever, that he knew he could do the same thing. He could do it, no problem. Just speak the word. You didn't have to come in. I'm not worthy for you to come in my house, but just speak the word. Here's the word, folks. Have you ever had the Lord give you a scripture when you were sick? And you stood on that? That's the way. Just get a hold of that word. There's power in that word. And get a hold of it and stand on it and start thanking the Lord. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it'll work. It'll work. It's worked all the way down through the years. All right, let's go back a few years. I didn't know this man, Brother Rodney Davis, but a very respected saint in the Guthrie congregation, what I understand. He was sick. He was bad sick. And I had the privilege of pastoring his wife and her second husband, but I never knew Brother Rodney. So a little sister called. That's what I'm just telling you what I heard. A little sister. I don't guess she was 6 foot tall, what I understand. And she said, I'd like to come over and visit and pray. I don't know if she said pray for Brother Rodney or what, but anyway, she come over. And they visited for a little while, and she said, now I'd like to anoint you and pray for you. Now, this was no preacher. What I understand, it was just a sister in the congregation somewhere. I don't think she's even got three, I don't think. And she anointed him and laid hands on and prayed for him, and he was healed instantly. Somebody said, well, got to have the preacher. No, not necessarily. You got to have somebody of faith. Amen, Brother Ivan? It's faith. It's not who we are. It's God and our faith in God that's going to get the results. So, Lord, help us. And the Lord healed him right there, blessed him. I don't know. He lived a good while after that, I understand. And so thank the Lord for that. All right, let's wrap it up in Romans 4 and 18. Matthew 4 and 18. I'm trying to turn too many pages at once. And my famous saying is, if you get in the right spot, it'll read right. 4 and 18. No, Carl, you don't want 4 and 18 of Matthew, you want 4 and 18 of Romans. That does work better when you get in the right place. 4 and 18 of Romans. We'll get it by and by, saints. You just keep praying. Uh, 17 said, and as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, called those things which were not, which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak, being not weak, being not weak, I want that to soak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also to perform. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now then, a person 100 years old and his wife, after a certain point, there's no more children. And he knew this. He knew this. He knew that 100 years old. Think about that, folks. He was an old man. But he said, and being not weak in faith, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now then, what does the scripture say? Scripture says what? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he done it then, can he do it now? He's done it in the past, hadn't he? You ever seen the Lord do a miracle? How many seen? I want to see hands. How many seen the Lord do a miracle in your lifetime? How many of you have been touched of the Lord in your lifetime? All right, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wasn't weak in faith because he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Well, how in the world is that going to be? He didn't question. He got a hold of it. He grasped. He said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever you say, Lord, it's going to happen. All right, so he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we've seen the past, we're living right now, and we're going to look at the future, so to speak, and he's that same Christ all the way through. He's never changed. He never told me anywhere in the Bible I've lost any power. He said, all power is given to me. Right now, from this point all the way to the end, according to those scriptures, all the way to the end, I have all power that I need to do anything I need to do. Have faith in God. The Lord wants us to have faith in God. He wants us to live a life that people can see it. You know, if we were the only person that was able to see faith in God. No, let me reword that. If we were the only person that a person could look at and see faith in our lives. Only one. I think I would want to have faith in God. I would want them to be able to see that. Nobody else out there. But one little person. That's kind of like the little story that I understand. where the Lord spoke to a preacher and told him to go by a certain chapel and preach a message. Give him a message. And he went. And he walked in. There wasn't nobody there. And he ready to turn around and walk out. The Lord said, I told you to preach that message. So he got up and he preached the message, just like the house was full. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. Preachers like to preach to people. They don't like to preach to a bunch of empty benches. They if they're going to preach, you like to have somebody listen to you. There wasn't nobody there. So about, I think, 6 months later, this man come up to this preacher and said, do you remember so-and-so? Yeah. He said, you come and preach? Yeah. He said, I want you to know that I was hiding in there and you never saw me, and I got saved after that message. He got saved. That message, that preacher was faithful to his calling, and no matter what, he still kept faith, but that got another person saved. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.